Blog Talk Radio.
All right, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Grant Warren, with Missouri Freedom Edition. Tonight's guest is going to be a candidate for Lieutenant Governor Cynthia Davis, and I believe we have her on the line now. Cynthia, are you there?
I'm on the line.
All right. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The people listening, they never know just how much of this can get thrown together at the last minute sometimes. I was actually having problems with my startup audio until 2 minutes ago.
It's good. So, it's all good. We're here and we're ready to communicate. And I appreciate getting a chance to be on your show because, you know what, Missouri needs to know there's a positive message, that there's hope on the horizon, and they're good people, they're good options, and there's good things happening.
All right. Well, briefly, for those of you who haven't been on our show before or listened to our show, we have a live chat room that you can go into if you don't feel like calling in for whatever reason. You can go into the chat room and you can leave questions and comments there, and we'll try to relay those on the air. Also, if you want to call in, we do take callers. The number's area code 347-215-8710. And Cynthia, why don't you tell us a little bit about, well, just some of the ideas that you have and why you're running for Lieutenant Governor. We'll start there again.
Sure. The biggest problem we have with government is it doesn't seem to understand that it's there to serve the people, not the other way around. So it's a question of who's the parent and who's the child here. So many times we're being bullied into feeling like we have to please government and make all the bureaucrats happy, and the reverse is true, that we are the customers, we are the ones paying taxes, which is enriching government. And as we're watching government grow bigger and more intrusive and more expensive every year, somebody needs to put the brakes on and help give the whole world a civics lesson now. So I started off really with, just being an innocent business owner. I was one of those businesses that existed because Barack Obama didn't help me.
Uh-huh.
You know, his famous line, "You didn't do it."
Yeah.
So anyway... here's what happened. We opened up a Christian bookstore in O'Fallon, Back to Basics Christian Bookstore. We were open a couple years, and our city government made a dreadful decision to shut down Main Street 12 weeks before the Christmas season was upon us, and it really was stressful. And we're like, oh, boy, how do we get customers to come to our businesses when they put signs up on the interstate that said O'Fallon is closed, please use alternate routes? And, you know, it never really occurred to the city fathers at the time, what do you do if you're going to, like, hurt people, take bread off their table and make it financially difficult for them? And that's what happened. We said, let's get together. We formed the O'Fallon Business Association, and our goal was not anything more serious than just, what are we going to do to play defense here? We didn't know this one was going to hit us. Let's make sure we know what's going to hit us next time. And so they asked me to go to the Board of Aldermen meetings, and I said, sure, what do you want me to do? And they said, well, just show up at all the meetings and report back to us every month what they're doing to ruin our lives next. And you know, it's kind of sad when you think about it. Why should we be afraid that government would hurt its citizens that the government is supposed to protect? Well, you know what? It's vigilance. If we don't protect ourselves, and the price of liberty is eternal vigilance, we've got to pay attention. And ever since then, when we see government growing bigger, more intrusive, and more expensive, it's the duty of all the citizens to hold it in check.
I agree. Really quick, I happened to mention that I was going to have you on the show, and some folks inevitably said, oh, but she can't win. That's just going to take votes away from Peter Kinder. Now, before I turn you loose on that comment, For those of you who haven't really watched election returns, your third-party candidates for lieutenant governor poll a lot stronger than, say, a third-party candidate for governor. And Cynthia does have the name recognition to do this, you know, in addition to that fact. But briefly, why don't you tell us why people should be voting for you instead of worrying about Peter Kinder or anybody else that's in the running?
Well, first of all, Grant, I can't get you. I cannot let you get away with calling the Constitution Party the third party. We are indeed the first party. The first party was the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. You get no argument here.
Yeah, it started off with the Constitution, and then they got into the silly games, and gamesmanship is now dominating the political landscape, but it's not serving us well. And I believe that there are people who still vote for the person and not the party. If we're only going to vote for parties, just take all the names off the ballot and put the party on there. And then let the party godfathers pick who's going to run for everything, because it won't make a bit of difference anyway. Is that how we want it?
That's not how I want it.
No. That, yeah, you gave the right answer. The pause scared me. But
oh, don't mind me. Sometimes I have to keep this software going if it doesn't want to act right and make sure we're still on. So, and we are.
You do. Yes, you do what you need to do, because it's all about how we're going to communicate our message at this point. The problem is all those naysayers and all those pessimists are people who are making observations from past decades. Nobody can observe what happened in 2012, November 6th, yet, because it hasn't occurred yet. And what's happening that's even a different dynamic than 4 years ago is we've got the new media. We've got Facebook. We've got Twitter. We've got the Internet. We've got YouTube. People are starting to gather their own information from their own sources and not be spoon-fed the pablum we've been offered in years past. So, yeah, if your knowledge stream was limited to whatever you're going to read in the newspapers, then I do feel sorry for all of us. But people have ways now to get information on what their options are, and I've never had more people thank me for giving them an option now that they understand what their real choices are. You know, both of my opponents did not get even more than 48 and 44% of the vote. So that means the majority of the people who voted in the primary did not want either of them. I think that's pretty good for us.
Oh, I think so, too. I've had people, you know, emailing me and asking me questions, so I'm going to, you know, just kind of pass this on. What is your position on the open carry of firearms? You know, a lot of people say, oh, no, it should only be concealed or this or that. Right now, it's perfectly legal to open carry in the state. You don't need a permit or anything, just as long as you're not breaking a law. You're fine. I know that you're a Second Amendment supporter, but, I mean, specifically on open carry, how do you feel about it?
Guns are going to make things safer. And in general, when the bad guys know that the good guys are going to be able to protect themselves, I do believe that it helps everybody behave more respectable. I mean, you know, that's the way this whole country was. Can you imagine if you were to rewind the tape back 200 years ago? If the founding fathers could have heard us have this discussion, do you think it's possible? What do you think about carrying your gun in a place where somebody might be able to see it?
Oh, I know. I think about a lot of stuff like that. I mean, can you imagine Davy Crockett, if he was transported through time, he'd be getting arrested for fishing without a license and all sorts of things.
Yeah, and I was told when I got my concealed weapon permit not to put it on my driver's license, because we don't want everybody at Walmart to know that I have it. And, you know, philosophically, that I felt terribly conflicted, because I'm like, well, wait a minute, we don't want them to think I don't have it. How
right.
Do you protect yourself if we don't have a critical mass of people who are ready, willing, and able to protect us? That's the strength of having good gun laws, is we know that there's some level of accountability that could happen before the police show up to write down the details.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, as long as we were talking about the open carry, right now the way open carry actually works in this state is there's no state law against it. So you're okay. I mean, you can go out and open carry unless there happens to be a city ordinance against it. The state legislature has tried to push through a bill to go ahead and just say, okay, look, we're going to make it the law across the whole state that you're allowed to do it. That way there's no questions. You're not a law-abiding citizen in one town, and then when you drive to the other town to shop, you're breaking the law. I mean, how would you feel about that? Do you think it needs to be uniform, you know, statewide so that there's no infringing on the right anywhere, or would you be supportive of something like that, you know, if there was legislation like that?
Well, the problem created by a lack of uniformity is you do have people who may not be aware that in another community over, now they've got a whole another set of problems. I remember when we were debating the bill on what to do with a gun when you're in a parking lot, because a lot of, like even my own county had a rule that you can't have a gun in the county building, but you also can't have it in the parking lot, so that means you can't even keep it in your car. Well, if you can't keep it in your car, it's okay to just keep it on your person and walk in there with it, but no, you can't walk in there with it. So the final, I mean, just to show you how absurd it is, what are you supposed to do, hide it under the bushes?
Yeah, I know. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it just shows you how the logic is not serving us well. We have to get to a point where we're going to do what's fair, what's reasonable, and what's safe. And I came in, I had a brush with some of the anti-gun folks when I filed a bill, and that really was the outcome of my taking the class. I did not realize until I took the class that we had a conflict in Missouri state law, because the current law has both that guns are prohibited in churches and houses of worship. But then in another place it says guns are allowed if it's okay with the leadership of that organization. So on the first level, we should have a problem with government trying to tell us what we can and cannot do on land they don't own. Okay?
Right.
If government owns the city hall or the parking lot at city hall, then that's their property. We love property rights, and we respect people's property rights. If you go to your neighbor's house and he says, please don't bring your gun to my house, of course the answer is yes, I won't bring my gun, because your wife is going to make a sumptuous meal and I like to enjoy our company, and we don't need to worry about that. That makes perfect sense. But don't you think we should all be scared when government is trying to say what we can and cannot do on property they don't own? So
absolutely.
I filed a bill. Yeah, so I filed a bill. I'm like, look, folks, it's not your land. So I filed a bill that says we have to at least take out the conflicting part of the law, because that makes no sense on any level. And so I was going to bracket out the one sentence that says that guns are prohibited in churches, because elsewhere now it says they're not. And boy, did I bring down a firestorm. The headlines of the articles were saying, I'm trying to get people to bring guns into church. And, you know, really they showed their ignorance, because how could they be that uneducated to do their own research and try and figure out on their own that it's a housekeeping measure? So unfortunately, there's some people who get so freaked out by the very idea of any kind of firearm that they just can't handle it.
Right, I understand that. Another question, because you mentioned property rights. There have been some candidates, and I'll just kind of throw this out there for you, who have talked about completely doing away with not necessarily all personal property taxes, but on real estate, or not completely doing away with them, but actually you would pay real estate taxes on it as long as you didn't own the property, like you had a mortgage on it or something. But once you paid it off, then the government would have no right any longer to tax that. I don't know if it would be giving you you know, a special title to the land or what. But what are your thoughts in general on not just personal property taxes, but especially on real estate and on people's homes?
Well, I frankly love every property tax repeal that has ever come across my desk. Who can't love a measure that's going to protect the taxpayers? I love that. However, now to be pragmatic about it, every time I filed a bill that would spare the homeowners any, even one dime, I got hit with a great deal of opposition, because there's some, and this is the problem, all governments tend to be greedy and will seek to extract the maximum possible. And if you just can remember that much, it doesn't even matter what the governmental entity is. It's not their money. They're spending it. They want more. I mean, it's pretty simple. So it's a problem, and maybe it's worse in St. Charles County where I live than out in some rural parts of Missouri. But you get to a point where it is so oppressive that you feel like you're renting your property from the government. Well, land ownership is one of the greatest definers between us living in a free market economy and from us living in a communist country where the government owns the land. And we should never relinquish our land ownership. And yet it is unbelievable that government can take your property because you didn't pay your rent to them this year, which essentially is the same net effect. So it is time for us to push back. It's important to push back. And if we don't, I don't care what kind of tax relief is being proposed. I've never met a tax relief measure that I didn't love.
And we're back. Our guest tonight again is Lieutenant Governor candidate Cynthia Davis. I just wanted to, you know, we were talking about property taxes. My grandparents paid off their home in the 1930s. And, folks, they paid taxes on it every year until my grandmother passed away. I think it was in 2005. And, of course, you know, if they hadn't paid the taxes, it would have been taken from them. Paid off in the 1930s. Guys, something's got to be done about this, you know, and hopefully that'll be something that we'll see, you know, coming around the corner, I hope. Cynthia, was there anything else you wanted to share with our guests? Because we're running down to about the 10-minute mark here.
Well, my web address is votecynthia.com, and you can read all kinds of things about what we're trying to do and giving the state a conscience about what's right and wrong, what's yours and what's mine, what is good and what is not serving us well. Because the bottom line is we have communities and we have to stand strong. And here's an interesting concept to think about. When families, churches, and communities stand strong, it naturally limits government. We don't need government to be bigger because it's getting too big already. And I don't care what kind of measure we're talking about. Anything that tries to reduce it will be a step in the right direction, although God bless all the people who try, because it is a tough fight. There's almost a tipping point where government gets so big and then it becomes like a wild animal that can't be contained anymore, and it becomes harmful. And we have to be vigilant. We have to say no. When you know, every tax increase on our real estate now has to be voted on by the people. So yet, for some mysterious reason, the people tend to vote to increase their taxes very frequently. And we have to be that's what it comes down to. If you don't want to, you know, you will be complaining about your tax rate if you don't do something to hold it down. The good part is that for the real estate tax to be taxation to be amended has to be by a constitutional act. So the people do get a chance to vote on that if they ever want to see something decrease. There are vehicles within our power. There are methods. If we can just be brave and strong and hold the line together and philosophically stop buying the line that we have to do this or our property values will go down. You know, I was in a forum a few weeks ago where they asked the question about making Missouri roads toll roads. And if you think about it, all that is another tax increase also. It's a way of finding more money out of my wallet and out of your wallet and going into a proper function of government that they should have been funding all along.
Absolutely. I do have a question. I know you were in Springfield the other day. What kind of comments were you making down there? I didn't get a chance to make it down there that day, even though I really wanted to, and so I never got to hear what you had to say down there.
Well, Springfield has a very interesting little project going on here. It really surprises me, as it should surprise you too, that a family-friendly area like Springfield has people who are trying to promote a homosexual ordinance. And, you know, I just have trouble fathoming why Springfield. I understand St. Louis. I understand Kansas City. I even may be able to understand Columbia a little bit. But you know what, Springfield? I mean, they call themselves part of the Bible Belt, and they refer to themselves as being one of the most conservative parts of the whole state of Missouri. So the saddest part for me, I sat through a three-hour public hearing, and they paraded people through on both sides of the issue. And you know what? It has, again, if you take away all the religious arguments and move just to the secular arguments, you still come up empty, because it's saying that you could sue a business owner if he doesn't hire someone who's a homosexual or a transgender. And also, if you ever hire somebody who's a homosexual or a transgender, then you really pretty much can never fire them, because they will sue you, even if you fire them because they didn't sweep the hallway correctly, which, you know, may be a legitimate reason to fire somebody if they're goofing off or something at work. If they are then homosexual, then they can claim that you fired them because they're homosexual. And if you think about what is that going to do for us, what it's going to do is become very oppressive on businesses, which, again, the next step is they're going to blight their business area. People don't want to do business if it's likely that they're going to get sued. That's no fun. I told them they should call it the Lawyer Enrichment Act, because who's going to benefit from this is the lawyers. And, you know, if you get sued, you're going to lose even if you win, because you have to pay legal fees to defend yourself. So how satisfying is that?
Well, I tell you, it's definitely something that probably has to do with lawyers and probably unions, I would say. You know, I mean, they're always looking for an angle to increase their power in the workplace and in the business environment. So, but we've only got about 4 minutes left. I do appreciate you coming on the show. You know, we're definitely rooting for you here. We want you to win. No question about that. Of course, if the other candidates ever want to come on, I mean, we'll have them on too, and then we'll turn the callers loose on them when they call. Guys, I see people in and out of the chat room, and I see folks on my live listen feed, and I've been told before that when people don't call, it's a good sign because they agree with the host, so and the guests.
Well, make sure you tell my good people that we need funding, and I don't care how little it is. Anything will help. I am going up against the big boys, and if we can make a statement, do you realize how wonderful it would be to be able to change the political landscape and let people know that the status quo isn't going to serve us well anymore, that it's okay to side with freedom and liberty, that there are messages that work, and that's called taking care of the people. That's going to always work. So I need help, obviously, paying for my gas to drive all over the whole state. I am going everywhere and doing everything. But the good news is where we go, we win. In fact, I was just down in Cape Girardeau a few weeks ago, and they had a straw poll at the end with about 150 people there, and I won. And I was so amazed that people love knowing that they can take back their government, that we can be empowered, that we do have better ideas and better ways, and it's exciting. So thank you for letting me be on your show, and there's a great opportunity. We've never had a greater opportunity. More and more people are getting fed up with both the Republican and the Democrat Party, and they're asking the question, don't we have anybody else who can give us authentic representation?
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Because your show gets archived and saved on here on the archive, we'll make sure we put a direct link on there for folks that are interested in donating to your campaign. Before we go, a friend of mine told me I ought to ask you this, so I'm going to go ahead and ask you this. Is it Missouri or Missouri?
Well, well,
careful, you'll offend the voters.
You know what? I've never been able to tell a lie, and I can't. I've always pronounced it Missouri, and so if I tried to say Missouri, then I would be a fake and a phony, and then that would be embarrassing to me because I'm trying to be something I'm not. So I was born in Chicago, and I spent 12 years there before I went to Boston. And then as soon as I could get back here, I did. But nobody in Chicago or Boston calls it Missouri.
Right.
I shouldn't say nobody. There may be a few. But, no, the point, I believe what it is Missouri is more of a urban pronunciation and Missouri is more of a rural pronunciation. The point is I love both, and we're going to move together both. And I just got an education on how to pronounce Lebanon with two syllables calling it Lebanon.
Lebanon, absolutely. Yes. All right. So, well, folks, that was Cynthia Davis who's here with us tonight. Guys, we're going to have the link up to her probably sometime in the next 10 minutes, and it's going to stay up there. Please donate to her campaign. Even if all you can do is donate, you know, $10, that's fine. You know, that'll get things going somewhere. Cynthia, it's been a real pleasure having you tonight. I have to go straight to our commercial to take us out, and thank you for calling in tonight.
Great. Talk to you again.